It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
It's always a good day when you can get on a show and talk about death. Not always the most comfortable topic, and a lot of people will recoil when I say, I've got this podcast, and they're like, oh, Jane, what's it all about? I'm like, it's about death. To me, it's a beautiful topic because it is one that each of us has in common. No one escapes this last final chapter, whatever you think it is. You know, just in this past year, I've had I shouldn't even say lost because I don't believe that we lose people. I've had to say goodbye to four really close friends, two of which were in their 50s. And it was like, what is going on here? And then, of course, my father-in-law just passed away. So we had a nice big memorial celebration for him last weekend. So it's been one of those hot topics for me, not only because I do this show, but because there has been so many people that have been transitioning very close to me in my life, which I like to say they've just gone on to the next room. So I love that today I have a guest on who literally just asked me, like, I'll go on the show. I was like, right on, because I think he's going to have a different point of view. Max Tolkoff and I have crossed over each other in the radio industry for many, many moons. And we just recently really connected and became friends. Is it okay if I call you a friend, Max?
I don't know. That's debatable. Let's see what happens at the end of the show.
All right. Well, Max is an acquaintance, and he has worked for and with legendary radio stations. And I first became aware of Max when I was just a kid in Santa Barbara at K-Tide. And Max was programming 91X here in San Diego. And if you know anything about legendary call letters, 91X was absolutely, was, in my estimation, because I don't believe it is anymore, was the groundbreaking alternative radio station. They did the most amazing programming, and Max was at the helm. So that's where I first became aware of him. Okay, flash forward. He's been at legendary FNX in Boston. He has been, you know, he's been writing. He has been programming. He is the guy that was behind a big format, alternative format, called The Edge. And I think that was on, I don't know, 40 radio stations across the country. Anyway.
Yeah, something like that.
Max is a big deal in my mind, and he's had a heck of a career, and he still is. He's doing consulting now, and very, very soon going to announce something extraordinary, which will be groundbreaking in the podcast world, in my estimation. But before we can get to that, I want to introduce Max Tolkoff. He's agreed to come on the show and talk about death. Hey, Max.
Jane, you know, some people go, Jane, stop this crazy thing because they want out.
Right.
You know, like Hunter S. Thompson left us of his own, by his own volition.
Right.
We don't know why, though, still, you know, it's like, did he have a diagnosis, some sort of an illness? Or did he just go, you know what, I've been around long enough, I've accomplished what I want to accomplish, and now I'm going away.
I'm done.
We don't know the reason, but it seems like, well, first of all, you know, as we get older, we see our friends around us and they're all dying or their parents are dying. And, you know, it's this rite of passage that I don't think gets explained to us properly as we're growing up. Definitely not. I mean, we're not told what to really expect. Sometimes we are told what to expect, but we don't believe it. We're not thinking about it because we're in our 20s. And who wants to think about dying when they're in their 20s? But, you know, and as much as we tell the younger crowd, look, you know, you're going to get to a point where your friends are going to die, your parents are going to die. Nobody really, you know the mechanics of it, but you can't tell how anybody's going to react to death. That's the most interesting thing. Everybody has a different reaction. I used to be afraid of death when I was growing up and in my 20s and even 30s. The whole subject was like, oh, it's kind of creepy. I don't want to think about that now. But I have to say, now that I'm even older than that, I've mellowed out about the whole death thing. Because guess what? We can't get away from it. It's always going to be there along with taxes. even after we're dead, we're going to have to pay our taxes. But I think we have to come to terms with it. But look, we know that this country was settled by Puritans from England. And that's great, but they brought with them all this crazy superstition and all the man-made proclamations and propaganda about death and how, you know, it's heaven and hell. And these concepts are all created by humans. So I don't necessarily believe that these are the final word on what happens after death. Nobody knows. Mm-hmm. Although the thing that you were describing that I'm going to announce soon is the research that came back that I discovered what happens after death.
What's that?
We all go to a deli and have a grilled Reuben.
Not a bad
That's
idea.
About it.
All right. Well,
yeah.
This is good because it leads me into what does Max Tolkoff, I mean, really, if and you can, you know, take the lid off. What is it in your estimation or your dreams or what do you think happens when you take your last breath on this planet? What happens, Max?
So should I talk about what we talked about yesterday when we had lunch?
Tell me how I came to the change.
As I was telling you, the change for me came over the last few years where, you know, suddenly I had sleep apnea. It probably wasn't suddenly. It was, you know, over time. And eventually, I won't make this drawn out, but eventually I took a sleep test. I got a CPAP machine because I was waking up about 100 times an hour. So I was never getting any real deep sleep. Although all my life I've had vivid dreams. I mean, it's been fantastic. Flying and out-of-body experiences and astral projection, the things that we think happen, you know, perhaps after we die. So I went from having not great sleep to now with this air being forced into your nose and down your lungs so that your brain can actually rest. What started to happen was I would go to sleep at night and I wouldn't dream anymore. I would literally enter this realm of complete unconsciousness to the point that when I would wake up in the morning and my eyes would, you know, come open and I realized that I'm back, the first thing that went through my mind nowadays is, and it's almost every night nowadays, the thing that goes through my mind is when I wake up is, wow, I'm still here. Because I felt like I was so far under and not realizing it that I could have died in my sleep and I never would have known. So when I wake up now, refreshed, by the way, every morning, because I've had a restful sleep, the air has been pumped in, but no dreams, I literally wake up thinking, I can't believe I'm still here.
Wow.
Like, I'm shocked to be back. I'm literally, you asked me, like, what's the first thing that goes through your mind? And I'm like, surprise. Hello, surprise. I'm still here. I can't believe it. So that's changed my entire thinking that, you know what? Death is pretty much, it's all within our own chemistry, our own body, our brain, whatever it is we think. And when that gets taken away, I think we're done permanently. Now, that's just an opinion now. I'm open to new information and new evidence. If somebody has evidence that, you know, something happens, I will consider it. In the same way that I don't believe in organized religion and, you know, I don't know that there's an actual God out there. I would say that I'm spiritual in the way that I don't think it's a man-made religion, but I do think that the planet, the Earth, you know, if you were to ask me, what do you believe? And I'd say, well, the closest I could come would be the Gaia theory, that the Earth itself is not quite sentient, but in a way it is. And the Earth is kind of the one in control of our lives and not some sort of random figure in space. But again, show me evidence otherwise, and I'll be happy to step on board.
I
think we go nowhere.
Okay, so we go nowhere. So fade to black. What about we are energy? And it is scientifically proven that energy cannot dissipate. It cannot be killed. So, you know, me as this body here now is just energy, just like you are. Jane transitions. Where does that energy go? So I don't believe, how can energy fade to black? It has to come up in another energy form or in another realm or another room. There has to be something next, in my estimation.
It's an interesting question because, yes, where does this, you know, we spent all our years becoming human and reading and, you know, making music and creating things. And clearly, we're all blessed with consciousness. And by the way, because we are humans and not animals, we have progressed over centuries and centuries. We're smarter and smarter. We've figured more things out. Science, you know, sort of tells us what's going on. But we're still, you know, we still have these suspicions or these beliefs, and they're fine. So, yeah, the question is, so where does our consciousness go, which is probably the source of this energy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like a waste to learn these things over all these years and then to suddenly go away. So, yeah, the question is, well, wait a minute. We have this consciousness within us. Is it possible that it dissipates? Well, you're right. Maybe it doesn't. You know, maybe that energy has to get channeled in someplace else. Mm. It, again, that's a, I think it's as valid a theory as anything else.
Mm. I like when you said when you wake up, you have that element of surprise. And so yeah. I would say that when you transition, and why I know this, because I do have this, I don't know, call it what, sixth sense, whatever. I think you're going to go through a big surprise. I really do. We continue. I mean, there is, it can't be possible in my estimation that all of this, like you said, what we're here, we're learning to love and grow and share and music and art and, you know, reading and knowledge and all of that, to me, for it just to go away, it just seems like such a gross waste of life and humanity and the whole purpose of why we're here. What would be the purpose of this?
I don't know. Maybe there is no purpose. Again, we don't know. You know, it's sort of like in the Alien franchise. You know, Ridley Scott came back and did Prometheus and Alien Covenant. And basically, it's kind of amusing on, well, where do we come from? Right? Mm-hmm. Who created us? If anybody created us. And, you know, in the movie, you know, the plot line there is, well, guess what? These people did create us, but we don't know who created them. I mean, we may in thousands of years, you know, if we explore the galaxy in space, we'll find other species. And it's possible nobody has the answer because you have to keep drilling down and we keep finding smaller and smaller particles, you know, atoms, you know, split into other things. And so it's possible that this energy created by us may be transferred. But I sort of ask this question, look, there are what, 1 trillion people on the planet now over the course of time. You know, there's a lot of dead people. Where do all those people go? Does this system of energy transference, has this happened with every person on Earth who's ever died? And what about the people that came before us, like in medieval times and earlier, 1000 BC, or even cavemen? When those people died, did their energy transfer to something else, or did they just disappear?
Could be, or possible recycling program, which I love to think about as well. You know,
right.
a choice to recycle back in, or to back into several energy forms, you know, where you could, there is a lot of parallel universe and dual and different things happening right now that are being scientifically studied, that we actually have multiple lives going on at the same time. Just like you and I are sitting here having this death conversation, you could be down at the corner coffee shop right now with your wife, or I could be walking my dog. So there's just different things that are, I think the exploration is endless, and that is why I love this, because I don't feel death is final. I think it's just another portal to what is, whatever that is.
Right. Have you experienced yourself memories that you think came from a past life?
Absolutely.
Have you ever?
So many. Yes. So many and vivid. I'll tell you one, this might be a little trippy, but I was raised in the Lutheran faith, good little Christian girl, went to church every Sunday. And my folks, I moved to California and I started exploring other ideas and ideologies and learning from various people, because my world expanded from just Michigan to a grander thing. And California is the land of the fruits and the nuts, right? So I get out here and my folks are super cool about my new exploration. And I'm sharing these like, well, this idea, and I met this person and they think like this. And so my folks are really cool. They didn't shut it down at all. But I had a dream, and it was so vivid, Max. You know, Christ was on the cross, and then he had the two gentlemen, one on either side, the guys that had stolen or pilfered or whatever, and were hanging up next to him, as the story goes in the Bible. I was one of the guys that was hanging next to Christ that had done something horrifying, that was being, you know, hung on a cross. And I mean, I literally woke up from that dream or whatever it was and went, holy crap, was that what, you know? I mean, I'm not kidding you. That's probably the most, and it, but it wasn't a dream. Like I felt it. Like I literally felt it. Like I, and it stayed with me to this day. I can feel the pain and the anguish and the shame and everything that came with this person's life, whatever he had done that got him to hang on the other side of Christ. So yeah, I really think maybe we just keep recycling, you know, and here I am now making amends for whatever that dude did to get him that horrible exit. I mean, nothing could be worse than, you know, being tacked up on a cross and being spit on. Jeez Louise. So what about you?
I have two thoughts. One is that I also encountered Jesus in a dream. What he gave me, though, was a slice of toast with his picture on it.
Oh, shit.
And it was like a business card. He goes, here, you're going to need this. And you might even be able to sell it. Yes, of course I am.
Of course you are.
Now, thought number two is...
Come on.
What? What?
Go ahead.
I never dreamt about Jesus, but here's the thing about the this is a regarding recycling idea. So I think it's a very, very possible thing. But here's how I see it.
Okay.
Take as an example, let's take a look at your typical family, and you've met people where you've seen the kids and they look just like their parents, right? Sometimes these kids act like their parents. You know, you've seen traits in people, or maybe yourself. Like there were traits in me that I know definitely came from my dad and some that came from my mom. Because, look, as, you know, people have kids and the generations keep going on, you pass down these traits from generation to generation. Because why? It's in our DNA. And this is a chemical process. So you have, like, you know, man and woman get together, they get married, they have a kid. Well, they're passing down DNA to those children from generations past, which is why, you know, the Habsburgs look the way they do. But that was a lot of inbreeding. But, you know, these traits are carried through similarities in the way that people look and the way that they act. So this chemical process that, you know, when you have a family and kids and you're passing it down, you're passing this chemical process down. And I believe that within that are also the things, again, a chemical process. We pass memories down the line as well.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
We pass memories. So the reason I think sometimes that people remember snippets of things is because there are snippets of things that carry through from generation to generation and so on and so forth as you keep having kids and they take us into the future. And I believe that there are little bits of DNA that are carrying bits of data from previous lives, you know, and from your grandparents that affect you.
I
see that as the way that we recycle. You know, we just don't know about it, but it's a chemical process. I mean, it's kind of a scientific explanation for why we might be remembering things. I've had past life memories. I remember this one vivid thing that I remember when I was like 7 years old. We were living in New York in an apartment building, and I was coming home one day, and I got in the elevator with a whole bunch of grown-ups, and they were all pushing the buttons for their floors. I remember this so vividly. I'm standing there, and older people behind me were talking about kids or families or, you know, having a family. And I just blurted out in the middle of nothing, 7-year-old kid. And I say this to the people on the elevators who are going up. I said, I remember when I was a dad.
Oh, my God.
I'm 7 years old. And I had this at the moment. I had this crazy flashback of being a father in a family somewhere, but I couldn't tell you when it was.
Sure.
I just had this certainty, you know, as I'm riding up the elevator, I had this memory of me being a dad. Now, where did that come from? I have no idea.
Yeah. Interesting. I love that. That's, I think there's so many stories that you do hear that people share,
yes,
because I'm curious about this. So, and you know, I've got a nephew who's a good size atheist and different things that I'm always saying, well, let's talk about this. Like, you know,
right.
I need to know, because we were raised in the same family. Like, how did you come to that understanding? But when he was little, he was like three, and he came downstairs and he said to my sister, there's a guy that keeps coming and visiting me at night and standing at the edge of my bed. And she described my grandfather to a T, and my grandfather had just passed, and Chuck was the only grandkid at the time. And so, my sister was like, okay, just tell him to go away, that you're okay, because he kept visiting and everything.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, freaking Chuck out. Well, you know, come to this, you know, now we know, I mean, or at least we think, where did that come from? Chuck was just a baby when Grandpa was born.
Yeah.
And
right.
years later, this man who he could describe perfectly, because my grandpa was built like a barrel, short, bald hair, always had a cigar, you know, built like a ox, you know, he was just short and wide, you know, and Chuck described him. So, I mean, where does that, you know, how does that happen? Well, listen, we have 5 minutes left, and I want to get to legacy. How do you, Max Tolkoff, how do you want to be remembered, or do you not care?
I don't care, because I won't be here, and you know, I wouldn't mind being shot into space, but that's not going to happen. I don't have enough money for that. Yeah, I don't know, nor do I care, because once I'm gone, that's somebody else's problem. Honestly, I'm not going to be here to figure it out. Look, we will lose our bodies. So I suppose the assumption is that if we're just disembodied energy, we're just going to have thoughts. We're not going to feel pain, and we won't feel remorse and guilt and all the human emotions that come with the chemical processes of your body. If we're just disembodied energy out there, and we may not even be sentient, by the way, I would love to have known what Timothy Leary was going through in his final moments, because, you know, on his deathbed, he took a big hit of acid because he wanted, when he was dying, he always said, when I die, I want to go out tripping because I want to know what that's like, because maybe that changes the whole equation. Maybe, you know, in the course of being able to astrally project your consciousness, you know, you hear people talk about, yes, I was astrally projecting. I left my body behind and I was flying along. Well, maybe Timothy Leary was able to do that because his brain was altered by psychedelics. Maybe that unlocked some strange power that he could, in fact, transcend death and come out on the other side. The funny thing is that we don't know, because it's almost impossible to do research on this.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
one day,
course,
if we can, it would be fantastic to know.
Well,
so I, you know,
that,
legacy, I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah. Okay. What about your mom and dad? Both have passed. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yep.
What about about being reunited with loved ones and being, you know, and they say that a lot of people that are dying, they like reach up and they say, they talk about their loved ones, like they'll see their loved ones before they go. You think they're just dreaming?
Yeah, I do. Personally, I do. Yes. First of all, I don't like anyone, so there are no loved ones that I'm going to be looking for on the other side. Even my parents were horrible when I was growing up. So,
you're such,
you know,
a curmudgeon.
Not like,
oh my
what?
God. You are a curmudgeon.
Yes, maybe my legacy, like if they, you know, have a tombstone for me, it will say, I didn't like anybody. Or it might say, leave me alone. It might just say, just leave me alone. That's my legacy. Just leave me alone.
Well, we are wrapping up here, Max. And I have to say, this was so much fun. I want to have you back on because I have a feeling We can take this to a deeper level. And in my, the way that I believe, I think it's going to be a gas because I will find you the next time around. And I'm going to say,
no, I don't think so.
I'm going to say,
I'm
going to
be hiding from you. Anyway, thanks for having me on though. It was great. I love talking about this with you. So anytime you want me to come on and be a contrarian, by all means.
I love that. Awesome. Thank you so much, Max. My guest today, Max Tolkoff, legendary dude in the radio and record industry and music business, I should say, and just really a good guy. Even though he doesn't want you to think he's a good guy, he really is. So here lies Max. Leave me alone. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll talk death again next week on The Next Room.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.